Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. We are with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Well, Alan, yesterday, President Trump granted clemency to some very prominent white-collar criminals. President Trump commuted the 14-year prison sentence of former Governor Rod Blagojevich from Illinois. He was convicted of trying to essentially sell a vacated Senate seat, says the New York Times. The president also pardoned Bernard Carrick, the former New York City Police Commissioner, the financier Michael Milken, and Edward DiBartolo, a former NFL owner. He's also declared himself, quote, chief law enforcement officer.
Of the things that this president have done, this ranks right up there as one of the scariest. He is thumbing his nose at everybody, saying, hey, look, they impeached me, and now I'll take revenge. It's so clear that he is doing that. Now, is he the first president who has ever pardoned people with some dubious reasons for doing so? No, he is not. President Clinton was there, I'll be honest with you, and I remember seeing that to my great dismay. And now here is this president behaving like a real thug. As you mentioned, David, he says he's the chief law enforcement officer in the country. As you probably know, that designation usually goes to the attorney general. But this attorney general is a tool of the president. We know that now. He's trying to throw the people off the scent, claiming that he might resign. At least we are hearing rumors of that. He ain't resigning. The president has basically got his arm around him and saying, you know, this is my man. And as we know, the attorney general made it clear that Trump's tweets weren't helping. But there is no indication that on the substantive matters or being pushed around by the president or being controlled by the president that there's any difference in the way that he has been acting. Bernie Carrick proved himself, I think, to be rather thuggish, and that's a tough one for him to justify. Michael Milken, you can make an argument for his efforts on prostate cancer and the rest of the things that he's done, but this is really horrifying.
And I believe I saw that, 2,000 prosecutors, I believe, signed a letter admonishing Barr. Is it possible that when he leaves this position that he is disbarred?
Well, anything's possible. Look, if this thing turns, if this president is defeated, and we don't know if that can happen, but if this president is defeated for a second term, I suspect there's going to be a certain amount of justice meted out to him and to the people who are around him. Nevertheless, don't count your chickens before they hatch, as the old saying goes. By no means is this president defeated yet for a second term. I believe that when you see this kind of wholesale pardoning of people who really don't deserve it, you get the idea that we are heading towards a kingship, a dictatorship. And that is a very frightening prospect for the world's young constitutional democracy, but the oldest in the world with a written constitution. And he has destroyed that.
Well, we have the battle for the person who wants to get the nomination to take on President Trump, and that involves a debate tonight, Las Vegas. And, of course, we know now that Michael Bloomberg, former New York City mayor, is going to be on the stage, and that has prompted his rivals to launch the attacks. Well, I heard you folks talking on the panel yesterday about how now he'll have to answer some tough questions.
Well, as you know, he's surging like crazy, and the Bernieites, who have been admonished by Bernie himself for saying things that are really not very nice, are on the defensive. When Bernie is asked, would you take his money if you are running for president, he says he'll give it to you. Some of his advisors have said no, but he won't answer that. So that's clearly a yes if he's going to win this election. That assumes that he is going to be the candidate. Right now, he is doing extremely well, leading by some 17 points, something like that, in the polls. Nevertheless, Bloomberg is coming on like crazy. And now, it seems to me, it's going to end up sort of a fight between Bloomberg and between Sanders. When they get to the convention, it's going to be tough for Sanders, because the rank-and-file middle-range Democrats are going to be there in force. And I think that that's what Bloomberg is counting on. A lot of the people who supported Bernie the last time felt that they were robbed, and they are adamant that he gets the nomination this time. Opposed to that is the idea that somebody who is too far left might not win the election, but David, we don't know. They went for a guy who I consider to really have mental health issues, the president, and he was on the outside of the Republican group. Clearly, Sanders is to the left of the Democratic Party. Whether many of the people who voted for Trump and are looking for something different might vote for a Sanders is anybody's business.
I see that a prominent national Latino group has endorsed Sanders. This is Mi Gente, a grassroots organization that mobilizes Latino and Chicano voters. You know, this all-important minority vote.
Without question. In the Democratic Party, the black vote, the Latino vote, is extraordinarily important. And you have to take a really careful look at the organization that is doing the endorsing. And you have to take a look at the way the polls are showing the Latino vote. I don't know. It seems to me the black vote had been consistently for Biden, at least in South Carolina, some of these other polling places. Now we have to see if Biden is sinking in the polls, whether that will be transferred to Bloomberg.
Well, Harry Reid, of course, of Nevada, says that his state should now go first in the primary season because of the problems with the Iowa caucus.
Well, he's a smart guy. The problem with that, David, is how are you going to get Iowa to give it up? How are you going to give New Hampshire to give it up? They aren't going to do it. There's too much involved for them, too much money, too much attention. We're talking about a $1 billion industry now. It's one thing to say they should give it up. It's another thing to ask how they're exactly going to do it. I mean, if the Democratic Party votes that way, there could be a certain amount of political chaos and resentment that gets generated. There's got to be a better way of doing it than we're doing it. It's crazy to give Iowa and New Hampshire all of that clout in the very beginning. To me, primary day ought to be primary day across the country.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. As always, we thank you for your thoughts.
And I thank you, David, for being here every morning real early. So appreciate it.
The march goes on.